Good day. This is Maynard Scales, and today we have a phenomenal conversation that we want to get into about, you know, what it is to need, because we all do need affordable housing, what kinds of options exist, and what things can you do that you can take advantage of those things. Now, I'm not that smart that I know all these things myself, so I called in some experts. I have with me Mr. Nathan Sims of the NRHA, the Norfolk Redevelopment and Housing Authority, who is he's the man over there. He's the president. And he's here to talk about the mission of the Housing Authority and a lot of the programs that exist, as well as try to dispel some myths regarding what the Housing Authority's role is in the community and its partnership with the city of Norfolk, and which is probably kind of, by and large, a template where housing authorities exist in other cities that they can hear us. Obviously, you may be living in Suffolk or Chesapeake, Portsmouth, what have you. And this is a largely, I don't want to call it cookie cutter, but this is how the Housing Authority operates in different places around Hampton Roads, as well as around the country. So let me thank and welcome Mr. Nathan Sims for being here. Mr. Sims, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Maynard. Thank you for having me today.
Great. So before we get too far, I'd like for you to kind of share with me a little bit about your background. I know you've been with the Housing Authority here in Norfolk for about 20 years, but I'm sorry, 20 months.
Well, depending on who you talk to, it might feel like 20 years. So
these past 20 months or so that you've been with us, but what brought you to Norfolk and kind of what's your background in housing?
So I'll start in terms of, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today here at not only Hot 91, but at Norfolk State University. And so I want to start in terms of who I am. So, you know, Nathan Sims is it'll be 25 years, which I don't show my age, but I'm not going to tell it for sure.
This is the radio.
Yeah, so. I got a face for it. So, I've been involved in housing now for 25 years, serving in a variety of levels. I worked at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. I've worked in a number of different housing authorities. I've served the District of Columbia's Housing and Community Development Department as well. So I have a good, well-rounded degree of experience. You know, I've been now here with the Housing Authority, as you said, for 20 months. And so, you know, there's a lot of good positive aspects to being here. What drew me here, the mission, the opportunities to be able to make an impact. We're the largest redevelopment and housing authority in the state of Virginia. And so, you know, there's no opportunity too big, too small. But one of this magnitude, I think, is something that was right up my alley and something I really wanted to pursue. And, you know, just bringing my expertise to the table. So, as you said, I've been here 20 months. To others, it may feel like 20 years. But I've been doing a lot of feverish types of meetings, discussions, community engagement meetings, being in our communities, working with stakeholders at the council, the state level, working with folks in the industry, all to try to bring redevelopment and housing opportunities to the city of Norfolk and strengthen Hampton Roads.
So, you know, I think people often have a misconception as to what the Housing Authority is. Mm-hmm. And there are a handful of things that I have noted here that these things are kind of critical and important to what the Housing Authority does. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a full service housing authority. We provide affordable housing, I guess, is the overall, the macro mission, if you will.
Yep.
And then there's this pathway to hopefully to home ownership for many.
Absolutely.
There is also support for people through educational programs and assistance like that, as well as workforce development.
Absolutely.
I get an A on that?
You get an A-OK on that. And so just to give you a little bit more context around it, so the Redevelopment and Housing Authority for Norfolk owns over and manages over 4,165 units of housing.
Right.
And so just to give a degree of scale, that ranges from public housing to other assisted programs, federally and state assisted programs, up to market rate housing. And so that's significant in terms of who we serve. We serve everybody in this region and in our city particularly. We administer the Housing Choice Voucher Program for formerly known as Section 8, which provides rental subsidies for folks to live, you know, freely in the market to help subsidize a portion of their rent. That we administer over 5,200 voucher housing choice vouchers, and that represents about $57 million annually into the economy, which is significant. Our client services department works very feverishly and with a degree of diligence in assessing households as a whole. So creating youth programs, programs that help young folks. And I feel kind of old saying that, but young adults, advancing in their pathway, whether it is programs as they're in elementary, middle, and high school, to vocational opportunities, workforce development opportunities, even opportunities for our seniors as well to be engaged in terms of programming and services and things of that nature. The workforce piece is very much important, so we have a whole workforce development area, and so their job is to connect both with residents and voucher participants, to connect them to training opportunities that we have with a variety of partners, like Old Dominion's a good example, Hampton Roads Workforce Council. Well, from the partnership standpoint, NSU can always come to the table around that particular piece. They are a good partner in terms of working with the School of Social Work and others. And so connecting them to vocational opportunities that can lead to a number of different jobs, not just shipyard, helping in the healthcare space, which everybody needs, working in the defense industry. So there are a lot of, and there are industries and creating opportunities to support those industries, right, if you're an entrepreneur. So we have kind of full service. I think sometimes people only think of us in the scheme of public housing and that's it. But we're not a one trick pony, and we're not afraid to say, yes, we operate a portion of our portfolio is public housing because public housing is affordable housing.
And I was obviously being facetious. We're not afraid to have Old Dominion be a solid partner with any of our partners. But, we're working on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're getting there.
All right. So let's start where so many of the lightning rod pieces exist.
Yeah.
Housing Authority.
Yeah.
And I heard what you said about the housing, the voucher, that this has replaced a word that people kind of have negatives around.
Yes.
The words Section 8, which literally is just it's a section in
the Housing Act.
The Housing Act. It's
Housing
literally Act. Just a handful of paragraphs on a piece
that
of paper, if you will.
Yep.
And as you go through a whole, just like the Constitution, there's Section 3 and Section 2, 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
But people take the word Section 8 and they made it a dirty word.
Yep.
In addition to that, what we typically call the projects or public housing, mm-hmm. Typically for large community public housing, if you will, multiple units. Here are some of the things.
Mm-hmm.
All those people are lazy. These are places, these are dens of drugs and crime, and they just want to just get over on the system. Help me dispel that myth.
So, I think that's a great conversation, because if people do talk about Section 8, and you're right. I mean, I can kind of blow everybody's mind a little bit, because, when we talk about Section 9 and people are like, well, what is that? Well, Section 9 is actually what created public housing under the National Housing Act. But, the Section 8 program, I think, gets a very bum rap. And so hence why, a lot of people, the wording changed to the Housing Choice Voucher Program. But what the Housing Choice Voucher Program does is it expands choice. I think that that's very much important. Landlords really rely on these things in a series of our lives or a season in our lives where we were dealing heavily with COVID and landlords were getting paid. Our landlords were. We're continuing to get paid,
mm-hmm.
And people remain housed. I think even from a perspective of just flexibility, right? You lose your job. And by the way, to your point, a lot of our voucher recipients and public housing residents, they work. they definitely work. We have a lot of people who make very decent money. And that's not to be confused in terms of, they're getting over on the system. No, that means that the system needs more affordable housing options because that's what they know is very stable in terms of their world. But the system that exists is very forgiving. And what I mean by that is if you lose your job, if you, become ill and your income changes, there are steps that you can take so that you continue to be housed and that, the landlord is able to be paid or you can continue to live in your residence. So I think there's a lot of myths. Crime is real. And crime is not necessarily a public housing issue.
Right.
There are a lot of different factors that go into crime. There are, substance abuse issues, mental health issues. And that doesn't mean that, hey, we don't have a reflection of a microcosm of that.
Right.
But that reflection is really a reflection of the city that you're in and the issues that it has. And so, we have a lot of great people who live in our communities, a lot of great people who participate in our programs. You hear more than, you don't hear about the people who are doing well in the programs. And you're not supposed to, in the sense of, you know, the only things that are often highlighted are the things that go wrong. And sometimes we get a bum rap, or our participants get a bum rap for being connected to a program that has nothing to do with a violent situation or, you know, a drug situation, which is, I think, is unfair. But at the same time, it's a very strong program, and it's been able to deliver a lot of good results for the city of Norfolk.
I think you made a really good point. There are lots of people, you know, living productive and successful lives.
Absolutely.
You know, the news doesn't cover all the planes that land successfully.
Right? Exactly. And you work with a lot of these. I mean, you know, we all work with a lot of people. We go to church with a lot of participants of it. They're not going to raise their hand and say, yes, I'm a participant in the program. Why? Because that's a private matter for them. But, you know, if we serve 4,165 people in our communities and we have 5,200 vouchers in a city of 245,000 roughly, then you best believe that, you know, you're coming in contact with someone who is in that program, in one of those programs. And you probably have no problem with them. You probably sit down and break bread with them. But, you know, but that's OK. That's how it's supposed to be.
If there's an area in the country that no crime exists, I'd like to know.
I right? would agree.
If people live there, something can happen there. And so housing authority programs and housing authority properties are, as you said, are, you know, just a part of the community and suffer from some of the same ills that many others in the community.
Sure.
So here are some other things that I kind of want to try to help people understand. You can You mentioned the number of vouchers and the number of persons that are being served. And there may be, in fact, a multiplier of this because we know that we have children who are being served.
Absolutely.
If we didn't have housing programs like the Housing Authority, you know, we would not only have that number that you have referenced, which I think totally is like around 9,000 people or 9,000 entrants, but we could probably multiply that by maybe two or three.
Absolutely.
Because there are children involved.
Absolutely.
We would have homeless people in the streets.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things that the Housing Authority does that I'm really excited for, I always, you know, I've grown up in and around areas where, you know, there were the projects, if you will, and or Section 8, that I shared with you before we started this conversation. My father worked for a housing authority, and he and his employees were so excited about, in fact, in the city of Wilmington, they opened a charter school that was attached to the housing authority. And that was important to them, that they wanted to make sure that the young people had access to high quality education.
Yep.
I know that there are some education initiatives that you have. They may be slightly different, but can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we are very much interested in working to make sure that there's a pathway to prosperity. And it's not just a tagline. And making sure that, you know, children have access to quality education. I mean, we can only do but so much in the span of like school systems. But what we can do is make sure that there's positive support, right? So making sure that tutors are available. That we have enrichment activities. We have summer camps, you know, during the summertime. We provide a lot of different opportunities for our youth to be exposed to things, both on an educational and cultural basis. And I think that is very much important. We're working our way. We have an annual scholarship that we have. Not going to say the university because we just covered that. But we have the ELM scholarship. And, you know, and we're working to expand more opportunities to help individuals connect to not only just two-year and four-year college, which I think is great, but also vocational, because I think that's very much important as well. I think we're in an area that, you know, coding, you know, IT related functions are very key, don't require a college degree per se, but can lead to high quality. So making sure that kids are very much engaged, that the household is engaged, because, you know, sometimes the most humbling thing is a child coming to you and saying, can you help me with my homework?
Right.
And figuring out, I don't know, I don't even know what this new math is, but just making sure that households are strong enough too in terms of being able to serve their kids properly. It's a big deal.
We went through COVID when my daughter was in fifth grade, and fifth grade math was, what?
It changed a lot.
Can't we just add the number to the number and carry the one?
Nah, everything's formula based.
Yeah. I know that there are some partnerships with organizations like the Chamber of Commerce and some financial institutions, as well as, and you spoke a little bit about the Red Academy can you kind of share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I mean, so we enjoy a good relationship of partners to do the work we do. First, I'd like to start in terms of the partnership that we have with the Boys and Girls Club. And so the Boys and Girls Club is currently in three of our communities to connect on a number of workforce, educational, recreational opportunities for the youth and adults really in our communities to help them. So that's one piece. The other is United Way of Southampton Roads. So we partner with them them in terms of their, which they've created for specifically for us, is NRHA Thrive program, which is a subset of their Thrive program to connect you know, residents and voucher participants to case management that helps with financial literacy, job placement, housing prep is another. So working with them, the Workforce Council, I believe, is a very important relationship. Why? Because it serves Hampton Roads. There are a lot of dollars that flow through there for training opportunities for folks who want a variety of things. And some of that, some of their traditional programs, we have continued to work with them on. I'm going to bring up ODU again, but and from this first perspective, because it came through our work with the Workforce Council, but we're working with the Workforce Council and ODU to offer certified medical assistant certification to our residents and to our voucher participants, which is huge. It's no cost to them. And we know how important healthcare is just in general, right? We're all getting older, but, you know, strengthening the system, I think, is very much important. Working with the Workforce Council to introduce career paths to our youth in schools very early so that they can get exposure. And so that's very much important. Our mental health resources, like Renaissance, I think, is a good example where we have mental health providers who you can pick up the phone at any time of the day when things are feeling at their lowest for some assistance, where they can come to you in person if need be. And so, you know, working with our lending partners like Truist, you know, Town Bank and others to help support our efforts. I'm excited to talk about the Real Estate Development Academy, which is the RED Academy, because when I got here, one of the things that a lot of people talked to me about was just a disconnect between the communities that are being developed and the people who are developing them in those communities. And what do you do about it? And I think, you know, my experience over these last 20 plus years have been, you know, the capacity argument, or they don't have enough capacity, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, then there's a period. And for me, it's always like, okay, let's put a comma. So they don't have that, but what are we going to do? And this, I think, begins to solve that piece. So we're working with our counterparts in Newport News, both the City of Newport News and Newport News Redevelopment and Housing Authority, along with the Urban League of Middle Tennessee and Baker Tilly, to provide a real estate developer academy to help them achieve a level of scale for those who have experience. Why? Because we need more housing in our respective cities and in Hampton Roads, and to do that is going to require additional capacity.
Okay, so... I want to get to a couple of things, yeah, and hopefully we have enough time to do it all.
Sure.
But I have a house.
Yep.
I'm a homeowner.
Yep.
And I'm struggling financially.
Yep.
And I look up and I see people get to live, because I'm mad. I'm a taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And people get to live for free or reduced, and there's nothing to help me, and this roof is a problem, and I might have some beautification issues that I want to do to help raise my property value. Mm-hmm. You're not helping me.
I would say we are in some ways in terms of creating stability within the neighborhoods. I would also say that one thing that is generally free to folks to inquire is if you're a homeowner and you're experiencing issues, we administer both the down payment assistance program for the city of Norfolk, as well as provide housing counseling. So if you have issues, I mean, no matter what your income, you can always come in and work with our staff around that particular piece, which I think is helpful. There are other programs, and I feel like sometimes this is like alphabet soup and depending on where you fall, but there are programs that help people in terms of single family rehab programs, which are, you know, administered by the City of Norfolk, that can help you if your home is falling in disrepair, if you need accessibility issues, grab bars, you know, you need the door widened because you're now in a wheelchair, you have a roof issue or something along those lines. So I think there are different programs to be able to do that. And it's almost, and I feel like if the people that we serve all of a sudden disappeared, and I feel like in this current environment, you know, not to make anything kind of political, but it's almost talking like the farmer situation or people who are helping in terms of bringing produce to bear. If people disappeared in Hampton Roads, where does that put us in terms of, you know, our hotel industries? Where does that put us in terms of transit? Where does that put us in terms of people who work in a hospital? So I think it's always a broader sense. Like I get, you know, sometimes people make arguments in terms of, well, you know, folks are getting over. Trust me, they're not getting over. Like anything, there may be people who try to abuse the system, but that's not the vast majority of the people that we serve. They go to work every day. They maintain their home every day. They're a stellar constituent for the City of Norfolk. And I think we need to just understand, like, why it's important to serve them, because it makes our neighborhood stronger.
Well, I think in that, I don't want this to get lost that, yeah, you said there are programs that homeowners,
yes,
can have access to, as,
yes,
you said, whether it's widening the door or, yeah, getting, you know, help with your roof or whatever it may,
absolutely,
be, that you are not in the projects or in Section 8,
yep,
or whatever the other names of these programs are that help everyday homeowners continue to live in their home and also raise the value of their properties,
yes,
and make their communities more resilient.
Yep.
Here's another thing, and this is the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the man now. You're throwing people out on the street.
No.
You know, we have the St. Paul's Project, yes, and we close down these places, and yep, you don't like these people, and you're throwing them out.
So I would say no, 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 and no. And so there are a couple of different parts of that. And I think people sometimes, I look in the comment section in terms of social media and different things to get a broad perspective. And I always feel like there's a connection to place, meaning I'm from such and such neighborhood. And I feel that that very strong connection. And then I think there's the other part of, okay, well, but am I still there? Because I can have a strong connection to it, but if I'm not there and I'm not living that reality today, then there's a different viewpoint. And I think the different viewpoint sometimes is these are 40s, 50s style housing where flooding was very, very much a real part of life, which it should not have been. I think that so just on its face, it warranted a degree of change. Now, people side, because we're very people, you know, the walls don't talk, people do. And so making sure that people are positioned to be able to do that and take advantage of the opportunities, I think we've seen some people take advantage of it, other people not knowing how to process it in real time. So when I got here, one of the conversations or several conversations I've had have been around, okay, if we did this differently, what would we do? And to a fault, people said more time with the participants. And so this is why you're seeing us in terms of our Young and Calvert transformation, really focus on working with people first to connect them to the opportunities, at least to get assessed so that they can connect and say, okay, well, for the first time in your life or first time in a long time, you've lived in public housing. Well, for us, going down a road really unlocks a degree of resources. So going through this process, now a voucher is now available to you, where that may not have been prior, right? And so now that opens a door in terms of where you may want to go. If you want to go somewhere, if you aspire to be a homeowner, and that might not have been something on the table before, or a degree of resources or an increased degree of resources for your household to help you be responsible for your own fate. Because our goal is really to help people become economically mobile and decide where they want to go. Now, to the people who now, that's going forward. To the folks who are continuing to experience the effects of Tidewater Gardens, we are always ready to connect with them because either they've moved to other parts of our public housing community or they're part of our voucher program. And so they are too entitled to resources under NRHA. The city has also the People First Strategy, and so Urban Strategies Inc. or USI is the provider for that. So there are resources still available for that. So I would say to people, and I know that it's hard to say, you know, things weren't rough. They may have been, but it's not over. You remain eligible. If you're still part of these programs, you remain eligible for resources. And so connect with someone, whether it be an NRHA, whether it be at USI, to find out what you are eligible for so that we can work with them. Now, broader than that, just to let everybody know, we have a housing issue here in Norfolk. We're very much landlocked on top of that. So if you're going to try to address a lot of different issues like flooding or stormwater management, you're going to try to address new housing, that opens the door for new opportunities. And for us, we see it as unlocking our site so that we can increase more housing options. So whether it's rental or home ownership, we can serve more. We can replace that existing housing, right? But we also can create other housing for other incomes, market rate, workforce, what have you, so that we can serve more people here in the city.
That's very important to mention. And and I think everyone recognizes in these past handful of days, weeks, and we deal with this all the time. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, a half hour worth of rain to create flash flooding all over the place. And so the infrastructure that is housing, that is public housing, needs upgrading. And it's hard to upgrade housing just saying, we'll just continue to put lipstick on this pig. Sometimes we have to literally take things away so we can build anew and start fresh. And then, as you said, give new ideas. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think is important that I've always seen it, you know, as I said, I watched my father work in this industry for years, that he said he had hopefully a three-step program and a three types of client program.
Yep.
One, there are people that were entering into public housing into what we typically think of as the projects, and that his job was to try to promote them. The same way I was going to school and learning how to do certain things, he was very interested in educating people on how to take care of a property.
Yes.
Because then he was going to promote them into Section 8,
yep,
and then those, or the, I guess we call it housing choice Vouchers. Mm-hmm. And he was going to help promote them into that, where there is a private owner of that property that wants to make sure their property is taken care of.
Yep.
So I'm learning in school how to do things. They're learning how to, you know, and it was simple things, not destroy the wall with, you know, a bunch of pictures and things of that nature. It was how to, you know, troubleshoot the toilet being backed up, or just very simple things. Moving forward from there, leaving the Section 8 or moving into the Section 8 program, then he was very much, as I hear you saying, as your partnerships indicate, how to get people mortgage ready.
Yes.
And you mentioned earlier that NRHA has down payment assistance program.
Yes.
In fact, I think one of the more aggressive down payment assistance programs,
$60,000.
$60,000. That's a six with four more zeros, y'all. So if you're looking at a home that's, let's say, for the sake of argument, $200,000, based on certain factors, they can provide you up to $60,000 to help you get into that home.
Yep.
And that will therefore mean that you will be financing $140,000 versus $200,000. Mm-hmm. One of the things that separates or keeps people out of purchasing homes, the key, the main factor typically is down payments.
Yep.
And then moving people from the Section 8 into becoming mortgage ready or credit worthy so that they can get take advantage of that down payment assistance program and move into purchasing a home and being on their own. And then in that process, they've learned how to take care of their property. They've learned how to take care of their credit. And now they have a home where they're prepared to move forward with confidence that, oh, in my own home, I need to paint this wall, or I need to fix this toilet, or I got to go to the box and, you know, play with the fuses or something. And well, you don't want to play with electricity. Electricity will not play back. It don't play fair. But in our remaining moments, I want to kind of talk about some things worth celebrating. Just this past July 30th, the Housing Authority celebrated 85 years of service to the community.
Yes.
That means a lot of people have come through the Housing Authority.
Yep.
Some people who started in client one position and graduated on to client three. Some people who are still making their way through.
Yep.
What does it mean to know that you're essentially, you know, at the eve of 100 years of service to this community?
Yeah, it's actually a little hard to believe. I mean, in terms of 85 years of serving a community, but we've done that, and I think in a lot of different ways. And for folks who may be listening, who try to, you know, may think, well, what does it matter? I'm not affected, you know, by that. If you drive across this city, you know, from Ocean View to East Beach, to Middletown Arch, to Broad Creek, and even downtown, as you're seeing the transformation of Tidewater Gardens. I mean, there are so many different aspects of reflection of that in terms of this agency and its work. And so I think it's important to say that we've stabilized housing in a lot of different ways, because here at Norfolk Redevelopment and Housing Authority, we serve everyone. And I think that's a clear example. I think we're at an interesting piece in terms of being at or a part of being at 85 years, because it's what's the next 85 years look like. And to me, I think we're right back to kind of where we are. Housing's tight. You know, we need to figure out ways to expand housing choices. We have a unique opportunity to work with households to help them recognize different types of opportunity, be ready for the private market, whether it's private market rental or private market home ownership, connecting them to opportunities or working with them to even recognize opportunities they may not have thought is possible. So we have, you know, our work may not look the same 85 years from now, but I hope that our impact is the same or even stronger.
So if you're listening and you are curious as to how to get more information, if you're curious whether you qualify for any of the programs, if you're curious if there is a way that you can learn about the success stories, I want to urge you to go to nrha.us. If you go there, you will be able to find out how not only what properties may or may not be available, what options are available to you, you'll also be able to discover one of the things is, you know, there are options for you to, as I said earlier, get something to, you know, grants for your own home that you currently own. They also may be hiring. So I want you to give thought to the fact that when we are helping people achieve affordable housing, we're making our communities more resilient. We are making our young people better prepared to achieve in the future. And we're literally helping families enjoy a greater style of life, if you will, because the last thing we want to do is see mothers and children living in cars or living at, you know, in shelters and things of that nature. You know, there's dignity where there is affordable housing. There is dignity and pride where there are people who have a place that they can call home, where they can lock the door, have safety and shelter. They can take a good hot shower and wake up and go to work and be a part of the community and be a part of making their own future better. Mr. Sims, I want to say thank you today and also remind people that this is only the first step in our conversations. Yep. We want to have a series of conversations where we can discuss more. I tried my best to throw some of those, to throw a couple of like little sucker punches at you to see how you would roll with them, baby. You were rolling, baby. You were rolling. But I think that it's just important. I'm glad you received it well, that people, that the misconceptions about the Housing Authority, its clients, and its role in the community, that those myths be dispelled so that we can get over, othering people. Those people over there are different from me. No, a lot of these people who are having these challenges, as my mother and my grandmother would say, but for the grace of God.
Absolutely.
And if we care for others, if we create a caring community, we have a resilient community. And you can visit again, nrha.us, to find out more information. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Wonderful.